So to get into the mood of our readings today, I think it's good to kind of remember a time in our lives when our plans just completely had to go out the window. You know, maybe you were traveling and there was some weather event and the highway was closed or the flights were cancelled, and so you were just stuck in this in-between sort of place. Or maybe there's been this time of illness or an injury that you've had, and it's just completely disrupted everything that you've known and all of the way of your life, and everything has just had to be put on hold while you do your best to try and get through that situation, that experience. I'm sure we've all had those moments. Hopefully it was perhaps only for a few hours or a few days, but maybe to go on for weeks and months. But imagine if that went on year after year after year. And it wasn't the result of a natural cause, but some foreign power came sweeping through your kingdom and just completely defeated you, destroyed you, tore down the walls of your city, destroyed the temple that was at the very heart of everything that you believed in and trusted in. The king at the time, all of his sons were assembled before him, and he had to watch as one by one each of those sons were slaughtered before his eyes. And then they ripped out his eyes, so that the last thing that he was able to see was the death and the destruction of his people and his sons and his family. Then he was bound in chains along with everyone else that was still alive and dragged through the wilderness over the course of months through hundreds of kilometers of desert. A very cheery way to start the Sunday morning. But that was the experience of the Jewish people when they were taken into exile. And they were stuck there in Babylon for more than a generation. The oldest of the people that were taken in chains would have all died in exile. It was only the youngest of the community that possibly were able to be there at the end of their lives. And to then be given that gift, that possibility, when a new king came and had defeated the Babylonians. Well, the Medes had also come in between, and then the Persians under Cyrus came and brought them this liberation, this freedom. And they were able finally then to return, to come back home. And it's here that Isaiah in chapter 40 picks up this anthem. You know, comfort my people, comfort them, because they've had this utterly devastating, traumatic experience that has gone on for a whole generation. 40 or 50 years, these people have been stuck in this place. They've tried their best to get on with their lives. They've tried their best to be faithful to the teachings of the Torah and to be true to what they understood. But that's impacted them in deep and powerful ways. And so Isaiah sees and sees this vision of the Lord just making straight the highway of the Lord. And fill in those valleys, clear down those mountains, tunnel through, make sure there are no obstacles that will prevent this people from coming back joyfully to the presence of the Lord. Let them experience the freedom that is able to be theirs when they return, when they come back to the Jordan Valley. Imagine that, people who knew that that was the marker, that was the boundary point of their kingdom, their society, and they had to go through the waters to be dragged through to the place of exile. And now so many years later, they come back to this same valley, and there from the River Jordan, they see in the distance the hills that marked Jerusalem and that marked the place of their home, the place that what they were going to return to, and the joy that they would have experienced in going through those waters and finding their way back to the land. So it's no wonder that John the Baptist has this sense that if he wants to bring this people back into that experience of encountering the Lord, first he needs to take them back to that place. They need to go back to the river. Because just as Joshua had brought the people after Moses had left them on the other side in Moab and Edom. And so he's there. Moses has to leave them there because he doesn't get the privilege of leading the people into the promised land. He dies on the wilderness. He dies on the other side. And so then there is given this new generation to return from exile. But when they arrive back in Jerusalem, when they begin to rebuild the walls and then the temple, and eventually it's dedicated, there are people that are able to tell the stories of what it was like in the time of King Solomon when he had built the first temple, when he had dedicated it. And there's this wonderful description that we read about the very presence of the Lord coming down to fill the presence, that the Shekinah, the glory of the Lord, came and filled the first temple. But when they built the second temple, when they returned from exile, when they had come back to rebuild the land, to rebuild the city, there's no description of the Lord coming to dwell in that temple, because something had fundamentally changed in their experience and in their encounter. They weren't able to be the people that they wanted to be anymore. Something was broken. Even though they'd returned from exile, they hadn't really yet come back. The Lord wasn't with them in the same way. And so John takes them down there into the wilderness to say, we need to do this again. We need to repent. We need to get rid of anything that is preventing the Lord from coming and dwelling among his people. We need to be free from all of those ideas, all of those doubts, all of those things that can hold us locked in the past. I mean, we're so commonly doing that. You know, we get stuck in an idea, we get stuck in this experience and in this encounter, and we're not able to find this freedom. We're not able to experience what the Lord is inviting us into. All of us need to return from exile. All of us during this time of Advent need to get in touch with that deep longing that is there for freedom, for meaning, for purpose in our lives. And that is experienced when we go through those waters, when we let go of all of those old ideas that have shaped us and formed us, things that are just not serving us anymore. And we need to let go of them and embrace the new possibility of life with God. And so Mark begins his gospel by making that great declaration, the beginning of the good news about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. He lays it all out there. There's no doubt about what this story is going to be about. The first verse, the first line, gives us all of the information that we need to know. That this is the path to freedom, and to embrace the way of Jesus, to embrace the way of his love, to embrace the way of letting go of exile, to being free from all those experiences of being separated, to return finally into the embrace of his love and the freedom that he's able to offer to us. Let's indeed be the people that we are called to be the people that embrace this gift of longing and waiting for change and transformation, to acknowledge those exiles that we experience in our life, and to long for the Lord to make straight that highway, to clear the path so that we can return, so that we can be the people that God has invited us to be, that we can embrace the way of God and prepare the way to experience that encounter with the living God.